Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's another Sunday edition of the Yahoo Sports Hockey Podcast. Justin Cuthbert, Julian McKenzie, and Julian. This is normally the time where I introduce some sort of current event or something that might be on the mind of our listeners, but I got to say, I don't have anything today. So I'm going to put you on the spot. Break the ice for us here on another Sunday morning.
Did you watch any of the knockouts from the UFC fight over the weekend? Did you see Chris Weidman break his leg?
I did. I mean, that was just disgusting, and I saw it on Twitter, and I only saw some of the fights because, you know, I'm not gonna be forking out the money for that pay-per-view, but man, it was nice to see fans in the stands again. Like, that was, I saw one guy come out and he's just like waving at everyone, and he looked like the happiest dude I have ever seen. And I want us to get to that point or back to that point so badly, but it was actually really nice knowing in the back of my head that it might be like a super spreader event was one thing, but like actually seeing live sports happening again with fans was like actually heartwarming with a cage fight, you know, happening in the center of all of it.
Like when it happens, like that first game in like with a North Division opponent, maybe by then the North Division won't be a thing. Mm-hmm. Like we're going to see like fans probably like hugging each other and like crying because of how amazing it's going to be. Like, I mean, I would love to see that at least because I miss being at venues and seeing fans go crazy. Like it's been way too long.
When do you think we're going to, I mean, all these sports have their different timelines. I think we're going to see fans in the seats, like a lot of them for the playoffs in the States, because yes. I just think that's, they're going to be at that point by then. And we'll get into like, you know, all that stuff a little bit later with when we talk about Robin Leonard. But I feel like all these sports are going to follow these different timelines. Like the UK has done pretty well with vaccinations. So when the Premier League starts in August again, do you think it's going to be a packed house? And if it is a packed house with the Premier League, you want to see emotion. Like those people are going to be so happy to be back in the stands for Premier League games. Like they're going to be hugging and tears and all that. Like that's going to be a highly emotional scene. And that's the one sport where it's like, it brings something extra.
You know what's funny, actually? It's funny you mentioned the Premier League, because I wonder, in light of some of the events of last week, yes, we've seen the protests go on now over, you know, some teams trying to bolt over to the Super League. What if that continues into the start of next season when you have fans in, where you get the fans who are roaring in adoration, but you get the other ones who go really overboard with the, you know, anti-Super League chants? Because a lot of people are still really upset at some of those Premier League teams, like a United or a Chelsea, looking to bolt to go to this fantastical magisterial league that was going to be better than the Champions League and then folded like a cheap tent in about like 2 days.
Well, that's the thing. These fans might be emboldened now. Like, oh, we do have power here. Let's, you know, let's, for everything that we are feeling aggrieved about, let's be as loud as possible. And maybe we're going to see that. But I don't know. Just get back to the point. Just seeing the fans back was really nice. And I hope, you know what, like, obviously things aren't great in Canada right now, but when you get to the point where you can, you deserve to enjoy that. So I'm not going to like pass any judgment. I'm sure Florida, you know, was maybe jumping the gun just a little bit with that UFC event. Yeah. But like, once you get to the point where you can vaccinate people, you can have nice things. And I'm not going to say anything about it. Have your nice things. You deserve it if you get to that point. And I think we are getting to the point where we're going to see more fans in stands. And it was a reminder last night that it's like really, really important.
I agree. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Okay, so that's we'll clumsily, you know, transition now into an NHL talk, which is, you know, based around another COVID thing, which is Robin Leonard getting something off his chest this week. He sat down in front of the media, or in front of the virtual Zoom meeting, And basically just rambled on, not rambled on, because that's, I guess, a negative connotation, but he just spoke from his heart about, you know, what was bothering him in the moment for about 10 minutes. And it was basically, he was coming after the NHL, but he was also raising, you know, the mental health issues that a lot of these athletes are facing. He compared the situation to a prison and accused the NHL of breaking its promise, which was if you get the vaccine, then some of your freedoms are going to come back to you, which makes all the sense in the world. But the NHL, I guess, has decided that just because you get the vaccine doesn't mean that all the or any restrictions really are going to be lifted for you, at least in the short term here. So what did you make of those comments first? What does this say about, you know, what we're going to see over the next month or so in the NHL?
Should mention, I think the NHL, I think when they came out after Robin Leonard said his comments and said that they didn't necessarily anything. And I think just it's really, it just kind of speaks to the confusion of this whole thing. I think Robin Leonard, first off, speaking out and just expressing from his heart how he feels about everything going on, and fine, you know, maybe you may have differing views on him saying it feels like a prison, but at the end of the day, this is an NHL player. Fine making however money he's making, but it is a difficult situation. You're going out to play these games almost every second night or third night, and players can't have friends over at their places. They can't even go into their own hotel rooms or their other players' or hotel rooms. It's a difficult situation for them to be in. So to see a player kind of speak out and say something about this and express vulnerability in that moment, I thought it was quite interesting for a lot of media types and fans to see. And I know Robin Leonard has spoken out about mental health before, so it's not the first time he's acknowledged such a thing, but it was good for him to step up and say something. In terms of the rules, I just hope for these players that something changes once these teams start to get more and more vaccinated. And I also keep thinking, you know, if guys like Robin Leonard who are in the States are worried about this sort of thing, and they're in a country where the vaccination rate is going up, imagine how it feels to be one of the seven Canadian teams where the vaccination rate is not nearly as high, including the Vancouver Canucks, who are coming off the worst COVID outbreak of any NHL team this season. So it's a bit of a difficult situation. I hope it gets resolved soon, but it was good to hear Robin Leonard step up and say something.
Yeah, I think there were some good points, and I think there were some points also where he missed the mark. But as I mentioned off the top, like, I am fully on team let people enjoy life again if it's safe to do so. So if the entire Vegas Golden Knights team is vaccinated, there is no reason why they cannot be in the same hotel room. They can't enjoy dinners together when it's, you know, when they're in a safe environment. Like, that is completely ridiculous. And to suggest that they have a competitive edge just because they're happier is wrong on the NHL standpoint. But I also think Robin Leonard is a little bit wrong here, because they do have a competitive edge. The competitive edge is the vaccine. He is lucky enough, and even he said that he wasn't necessarily sure if he wanted it, but that team is lucky enough to know that they are going to be healthy for the rest of the season, that their families are going to be healthy for the rest of the season, and not every other team has that competitive edge. So when you're talking about, you know, the differences between teams and the NHL wanting to keep things as uniform as possible, let's just be honest, it's not fair right now. It is more fair right now to the Vegas Golden Knights, who are not having to worry about their health moving forward, while teams in Canada and other teams that may not have the vaccination yet, and I don't know how many of them there are, which is another issue unto itself, but there are teams that don't have this competitive edge, and to think that you're hard done by because you can't have meals with your team or go to the grocery store compared to other NHL teams that don't know if they're going to come home and give COVID-19 to their families, that's where that argument sort of falls short for me.
I guess, but like, that's not to be crude about, but that's not Robin Leonard's problem. Robin Leonard is dealing with own situation, his own team, and they're not able to do those things. And look, everyone made their comments about how the United States and different states were going about protecting themselves through COVID last year, but the vaccine is available to them. The United States did the work to put themselves in a position where they could vaccinate people. Why can't Robin Leonard and other players on U.S. teams who are getting vaccinated be able to enjoy themselves? I know you mentioned that, like, sure, do that. Like, and I'm not to say who cares on some of those other Canadian teams, but I don't know, man. If we're in a position where it's more than sports at this point, like, I mean, fine, you can discuss the competitive advantage, but like, who cares? Like, if you're in a position where you're able to get that vaccine, you want to live your life, you should be able to do that. Like, you know, I don't think it necessarily matters to the fact that, you know, fine, other teams aren't able to do it, and you know, you got to hold off and whatever. Like, it's either you get everyone to do it or you don't. But I think Robin Leonard, it doesn't really matter in this case.
No, I don't think it does it either at all. I mean, I think you have to accept, if you're the NHL and the league's office, has to accept that things aren't going to be equitable here. It's clearly not equitable if 21 teams or 22 or 23 or how many there are in the U.S., I guess there'd be 24, in the U.S. are vaccinated by the end of the month and no one in Canada is vaccinated yet. You don't have a fair league. So just embrace that. Like, you can't, there's no way
to get, make it fair.
There's no way to get around it. What do you mean make it fair?
Well, I don't know. Just like, I guess for the playoffs, just have like the Canadian teams all in a bubble in the States, as unfair as it is, and get everyone vaccinated.
But that's unfair. Yes. And that's what's going to happen. But for Robin Leonard to think that their team or you know, all the NHL players are being unfairly hurt by this, I think there's layers to it. And certainly the seven Canadian teams are at the biggest competitive disadvantage right now. But I'm glad he brought it up, because transparency has been such an issue through this whole thing. Like, we should know which teams are vaccinated or partially vaccinated. We should know all this stuff. And the only reason why they're keeping it quiet is because there is going to be a competitive disadvantage here. That's exactly why we don't know what exactly is happening. But, I mean, he brought it up for many good reasons. I think it was interesting that he said that he kind of felt forced to get it and he wasn't even sure if he wanted it. But they dangled the carrot of, hey, you can have this and you can have that if you take the vaccine, which is not the way to go about it. I mean, people should be taking the vaccine, but you can't force people to take the vaccine. But also his struggles with mental health. And I mean, he's been so open about it and it's been very important. But him talking about his experience very, you know, detailed, and the fact that he has bipolar disorder, and one of the dangers of bipolar disorder is being in isolation. And that's how he's felt this entire time. So I just feel like this should be a reminder to the NHL to embrace the fact that this is not fair and to just let people have what they deserve to have, which is exactly what they're allowed under the certain conditions. If you're vaccinated, you should be working in a safer spot and you should not be doing the same things as what's happening north of the border when COVID-19 is raging outside. Like, it's just to think that you're going to create a competitive imbalance or competitive balance and everything is going to be equal for everyone is just so silly given the circumstances.
Yeah, it's just not fair. Just if there was a way for the National Hockey League to create more of a competitive balance for every single team, they should pursue it. I'm not saying that they're not. There should be a way to do it, because obviously we've pointed out the fact that for Canadian teams, it is going to be completely unfair for them going forward. It is a damn shame, though. But again, just to kind of put a bow on it on my side here, just at least Robin Leonard stepped up and said something. Mm-hmm. At least he didn't just, you know, try to just brush it off and just be like, yeah, whatever, we're just going through it. It's good to see players step up and use their platforms. And we've seen it over the last few weeks between him and JT Miller, for example, speaking out over the conditions that they're going through. Hopefully more and more players feel emboldened to step up and just kind of describe the conditions that they're going through. It's not easy for them to be playing under these circumstances. And for any player who gets COVID, like, you know, I was looking at a video essay for Bomani Jones a few days ago where we think of these athletes who kind of go through pain and they're just conditioned to go through something like this and just kind of brush it off like it's nothing. With COVID, we're not sure what the long-term effects are going to be like. And even the immediate effects in some players, you see it right away. So for players to kind of speak out and point out, hey, this crap is happening to us here, we have to play through this, I want more of it. It just for people to understand that these guys, even if you're sitting at home on your phone and you're tweeting, oh, you guys are million-dollar athletes, what do you have to complain about? There's a lot for them mm-hmm. that they're going through right now that is tough on their mental health and tough on them physically that they have to go through. And people should show some more empathy towards those situations.
Yeah, I mean, Robin Leonard is no different than everybody else just because he makes $5 million a year, I believe, with Vegas and is going to make $5 million a year moving forward. That doesn't change anything. But what you'd hope is that we will get some change if more players step up and say things like he said. I mean, I think yes. He went a little bit too far in certain directions, but if more players are talking about, hey, why are we still locked in our hotel rooms? Why can't we do this and that when I've been vaccinated for a month and I'm perfectly, you know, I'm not a threat to anyone or anything because of that reason, at least 99% of the way, given, you know, the efficacy or whatever, I just feel like they should be allowed, because we're not going to get to the finish line here if we all think we're going to reach the finish line together. And I know there's so many, you know, problems with, you know, socioeconomic status and people not getting the vaccine when they should and other groups being preferred. But the fact of the matter is, once you can't all get there at the same rate. So if we get as many people to the finish line, we're going to get everybody to the finish line. And I think that's an important thing. Just because one team is dealing with something and has to be a little bit more careful doesn't mean that every team should have to, you know, have their mental health in the compromised position that Robin Leonard feels his is.
Of course, yeah. I just hope we just get to the finish line at this point. Jeez.
We're going to have to get there eventually. But, you know, hope with that UFC crowd, I guess.
yeah.
So my worry, we'll go on to our next topic here. My worry with this North Division thing from the start. So we're going to miss out on all these incredible things happening in markets that are partially unavailable to us because, you know, me and you have a Canadian game to watch, it seems, every night on national TV. And I think we're seeing that with Sidney Crosby. Like, it needed, we almost needed this carrot to be pushed in the right direction to talk about Sidney Crosby, which was the fact that he secured his 16th straight over 1.0 point per game season to start his career. And only Wayne Gretzky's the other only other person who's done that in NHL history. And Sid clinched that with a goal late in a victory over the New Jersey Devils. He's got 20 goals and 55 points so far this season. And frankly, he's making a bid for the Hart Trophy. Very quietly, Sidney Crosby has been one of the most dominant players over the last 2 months. And if you're looking at cases, you know, who should be nominated behind Connor McDavid, I think we probably agree is going to win the Hart Trophy. But like, there's a lot of good cases, right? There's Artemi Panarin and Alexander Barkov and Austin Matthews and Patrick Kane. They're all kind of hovering in the same spot. And what Sidney Crosby's doing, not only from a personal standpoint, but elevating his team, which is now threatening to win the East Division, I think Sidney Crosby's got to be the top of the list right now of Hart Trophy runners up, I guess.
I agree with you. I think if the Pittsburgh Penguins win that East Division, there's no way you don't put Sidney Crosby in the top three voting for the Hart Trophy. Here's something else that blew my mind. I was watching this segment on TSN Radio for Overdrive, and I believe O-Dog and Noodles, and I think they had Mark Rowe as a guest host that day. They had James Duffy about, you know, just hockey and things like that. James Duffy is talking about all these different games that he's not able to watch this season because of how the scheduling and the divisions are going. He mentioned the fact that his panel on TSN has barely mentioned Sidney Crosby at different points this year.
Yeah.
How insane is
that?
That's
how I feel.
That's insane. Sidney Crosby, who we hold in high regard. We praised him on the show, liking him to be the best player we've seen over the last 15 years. The hero that he is, probably a top five player all time when it's all said and done. And TSN, of all places, failed to recognize Sidney Crosby at different points of the year. That is absolute madness. And I cannot wait until teams across the NHL can start playing each other in different playing each other as opposed to just the teams in their own division again, because this is just absolutely insane. Sidney Crosby is having himself a great year. And another thing about this Pittsburgh Penguins team, this is a team we thought at the beginning of the year, their championship window was closing. Mm-hmm. There were all the rumors around how Jim Rutherford may have wanted to dismantle that core. And then Ron Hextall and Brian Burke come in and say, all right, now we have Sidney Crosby. We're going to go win some games. And all of a sudden, they might win the division. This is one of the best stories in the National Hockey League going right now. And if Sidney Crosby puts himself in a position where he gets, I mean, the team's obviously going to make the playoffs, but if they win this division, remember, we were talking about what this division was going to look like. I don't even know if we mentioned the Pittsburgh Penguins. In fact, if I recall correctly, and maybe we can go back on the tape, and maybe I'm wrong here, we were thinking about all these different teams in the East Division, the Islanders, the Capitals. I don't know if we mentioned the Pittsburgh Penguins all that favorably. I don't know if we praised them all that much. And now all of a sudden they might win this damn division. I think it's one of the best stories going. And it all speaks to Sidney Crosby, obviously, as the great player that he is. And there's no doubt in my mind, if the Penguins win that division, even if they're within sniffing distance of whoever wins that division, Sidney Crosby should at least be in consideration for that Hart Trophy. But I'm with you. Connor McDavid's going to win it hands down.
Yeah, I think it was a bad first impression with the Pittsburgh Penguins, and I think that's probably why TSN's not talking about it as much. That's probably why we're not talking about it as much, because the Pittsburgh Penguins only a handful of regulation wins within the first I guess, month of the season before Brian Burke and Ron Hextall took over. And it looked like they were just fortunate to be even, you know, treading water at that point. But since February 9th, and this is an important date because this is when Brian Burke was hired, but no team in the NHL has more points than the Pittsburgh Penguins since February 9th. And that's not because Brian Burke's there. It just happens to have happened that way. And no player other than Connor McDavid, rather, has more points than Sidney Crosby. So it seems everything is working for this team. Even at the start of the year when they were a bad team and they were picking up points and staying in the race just because they were able to get it to overtime and figure out a way to get some points that way. Like, everything seems to be working for them, which is sort of the Sidney Crosby magic. I mean, check their last game or two games ago, they allowed 6 goals in the third period to the New Jersey Devils and still won the game. So like, we're talking about something that would be, you know, like you talk about the Leafs all the time with all these terrible things that happen, losing Vancouver off the COVID, losing to their Zamboni driver. Like, the low point of the season for the Pittsburgh Penguins is giving up 6 goals in a game, in a period, in a game that they just happened to win. Like, that sort of sums up how things have been pretty fortunate for the Penguins this year. And the guy that's driving all that success is Sidney Crosby. And that's why his case to win the Hart Trophy is as strong as anyone not named Connor McDavid.
Do you just think about how we've been discussing Sidney Crosby over the last few minutes here? We're making him sound like a damn underrated player.
And he is.
You could still, and he is. It's funny. It's just so funny because of how good of a player he has been throughout his career. I say it all the time, though. If you have the center depth of Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, good Lord, you have a chance. It doesn't matter if your team is not going to be looked at as good or if there are other players that or other teams that are going to look good or whatever. If you have Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin on your team, you have a chance. And that's probably what Brian Burke and Ron Hextall were thinking when they decided to take on this job. It's like, what the hell are we going to do, try to dismantle everything here? We have Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. Like, what are we doing? You have a chance every single year. Just build around those guys. And at least in Crosby's case, he's still playing at a ridiculously high level. So credit to the Penguins for sticking with this. And now they might be able to get a round win or two out of this.
As it stands now, I mean, the East Division is as good as it gets in terms of playoff races. But there are games here on Sunday, and we're recording Sunday morning. Many of you will listen on Monday, so this could be a little out of date. But the Capitals lead the division with 66 points. The Penguins and Islanders are behind with 65 and 63, respectively. And then the Boston Bruins, with a couple games in hand, those three teams that I mentioned have all played 48 games, so they have 8 remaining. But the Bruins have 10 remaining, and they're only 3 back of the Islanders for third spot. Like, that is just, it's a toss-up. It could be basically a 25% chance that either of these teams wins the division. And, you know, as important as it is to win the division, wherever you slot, it's going to be really difficult to get through one round, let alone two, and then get to the NHL semifinals. So, I mean, if you and I have been missing out on something here in Canada and having to watch mainly Canadian games, it's probably what's going on in the East Division.
Oh, that's not good. I'll tell you this, though. I'll tell you this before you get to your next point. When it comes time for the playoffs, I am definitely tuning into those East Division games. I understand. There's a good chance the Montreal Canadiens will be playing a playoff game. We're playing some playoff games, probably against the Toronto Maple Leafs as it stands, unless they somehow crazily collapse and miss out on this playoff spot, which I don't think is going to happen. But for damn straight, I'm going to be watching East Division playoff games. Are you kidding me? I'm not missing out on that. I've done enough missing out on those teams in the regular season. I'm not missing out on East Division playoff games in the playoffs.
No, it's time for us to diversify, and it will be easier to diversify if our two teams that we cover more closely are playing each other, because that's only 3 hours out of every other day, I guess. Okay, so I mentioned February 9th being important to the Penguins, Brian Burke and Ron Hextall, but February 9th is completely arbitrary to the rookie scoring race. But something interesting has happened since that point, and it's that Jason Robertson of the Dallas Stars, famously the brother of Nick Robertson. It's kind of sad that he's known more for that than, at least in the market I'm in, than being a rookie star for the Dallas Stars. But he's been comfortably pacing all rookies in scoring since February 9th. So I ask you, do we have a rookie race with him and Kirill Kaprizov, or are we just, you know, trying to manufacture something to talk about here down the stretch?
I'm not sure. I like the fact that Jason Robertson has been playing really well, and I was just watching like a highlight tape of his on YouTube, and the goals he's been able to score, either being in the right place at the right time, being in the front of the net, and his shot. He has a really good shot. Like, this kid's really cool. Like, I think he's great. It's just that Kirill Kaprizov is just all season has been just delighting us with his skating, his skill moves, and the fact that he can score goals in clutch moments. Like, I think the fact that Robertson has been doing this from about like February to now, I mean, that's pretty cool, but Kirill's been doing this pretty much all year, right? So I think Kirill might get the edge. The one thing I'm really intrigued about, and I know people have mentioned it at different points of the year, is the age thing. I don't have Kirill's age off the top of my head, but he's very much older than Jason Robertson is.
Yep.
And I think a few people might take that into consideration with the voting. I hope people don't, because in the spirit of the thing, he's still a rookie and he's still doing some great things and he's still helping Minnesota be, you know, more than just the middling, mediocre franchise that they've been over the last few years. They look good. They look fun. Right. And I think Kirill Kaprizov deserves some credit for that. But I also think Jason Robertson getting a look as well. Why not? Like, I think he could be a good second place. I'm just curious who might be in third now. That's a bit of a drop, right? We were looking at guys like Tim Stützle. We were hoping Alexei Lafreniere at the beginning of the year would step up, but it's only now that he's finding his groove. Like, I'm also curious, like, who's going to be in third? But right now, I think it's pretty clear it's Kaprizov and Robertson.
Yeah, it's definitely those two should finish 1-2, but I think it's pretty clear who should be the number one. I mean, I'm all for the race, the narrative, something to talk about. But there's three main checkpoints you got to hit. Well, Kirill's leading in points, so that's the big one. Well, he's leading in goals. That might be the bigger one. And he's leading his team to tangible success with the Minnesota Wild, who clinched a playoff spot, I believe, this past weekend. So those are the things that are most important. If one guy is a little bit younger, but you're always going to pick the one with more goals, more points, and the one that's driving meaningful success. And unfortunately, he checks those three boxes where Robertson doesn't. But yeah, it isn't maybe the most exceptional rookie class, looking at it today. I mean, Tim Stützle's influences seem to sort of wane, I guess, in recent weeks. Maybe he's hitting that rookie wall, and it doesn't feel like there's anyone else who can push for, certainly those two spots. It's Kirill Kaprizov, in a runaway for me. It's nice to get that third spot. So maybe an Ottawa Senators rookie will, whether it's Stützle or Norris, will get that third spot and get that free trip to Vegas, which I guess won't happen. You know, panoramas, right?
Did you just say panorama? Oh, my God.
I tried it.
You caught on.
I tried it on for size. You proud of me?
You caught on. Oh, my goodness. You proud of me? Panorama, Pandofla, Panoramic, Panasonic, Panera Bread. We have turned a corner, my friend.
I only tried one of those on for size, but now I have a...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A little bit more ammunition if need be. I think you should be proud of me, though. Say it.
Well done, sir. I'm just proud of you.
Just agree. Thank you. Okay, now we can move on. Last one for us before we get into the tire pump, our weekly segment that is taking over the world here. The Leafs and Jets did battle this week, and it was quite entertaining. And if we're talking about postseason bucket list items or series that we want to see, I don't know if it would be number one. I think what's going on in that central division with the three-headed monster, Carolina, Florida, and Tampa Bay, I think those matchups are going to be great. I think Vegas and Colorado is probably at the top of the list for everyone. But the Leafs and Jets, if we get to that point, would be incredibly fun just because, the heat was turned up between these two teams this week with Paul Maurice calling the Leafs dirty and the Leafs sort of accepting that challenge and playing a little dirty on Saturday night. And Joe Thornton and Nick Ehlers having this strange rivalry and beef that could serve as the undercard to a Jake Paul fight if those two ever wanted to square off. And then we got Pierre-Luc Dubois and Wayne Simmonds, who seem like they want to get after it as well. So an exciting few games. Both games went to the Maple Leafs, who solidified, it seems, their spot as the number one team in the North Division with those two victories. And it's no promise that we see this series, but I feel like it's one that we got to see, no?
I think it's like more than likely going to happen, with considering how the teams are going to be lined up in the North Division. It's more than likely those two teams could be the last ones standing in the North Division. And I've said it with Winnipeg for a good chunk of this year. While I have heaped a lot of praise on Toronto, do not sleep on the Winnipeg Jets. Do not sleep on that forward core. They would go in a series against the Toronto Maple Leafs, they would have the edge on goaltending, for what it's worth, yes, with Connor Hellebuyck over whoever the Toronto Maple Leafs would trot out. That would be fun. I mean, just to see the animosity building over the last few days between these two teams, just as a hockey fan, I think I'd be really intrigued by what's going on. And I mean, if the Leafs find a way to beat the Jets in a series like that, that would be huge for them going forward. I mean, obviously, you get to the conference final if it gets to that point, but that would be huge for them going for Austin Matthews and his development and some of those other players. But I would like to see something fun out of those two teams. I just think those two teams are really good in their division, obviously, and I think it'd be fun to watch.
Yeah, if the Jets meet their potential, I think they're must-watch television in the playoffs, because it's going to be a lot of fun watching them go up against Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers, and it's going to be a lot of fun if they get through that series and play the Leafs, if you know the Leafs do in fact get past either Montreal or Calgary or Vancouver now, who seems to be back in it. After three wins to start their return from COVID-19. But yeah, I mean, if we're talking about what the best offering the North Division can provide, I think it's Winnipeg and Toronto, and we'll see if we get to that point. Okay, it is that time, the tire pump. It's who we want to acknowledge this week, and Julian, I'll let you start things off.
Okay, I would like to give tire pumps to emergency goaltenders. Firstly, Fred Brathwaite, goaltending coach out in the Vegas Golden Knights organization. They were in need of the AHL affiliate, the Henderson Silver Knights, were in need of a backup goaltender with Logan Thompson unavailable to them. So Fred Brathwaite steps in, puts on the pads, and serves as the E-Bug for the Henderson Silver Knights, which I always think it's really fun. And I was originally just going to give it to him until I came across news from the Ottawa Senators game last night. They had some calamities with their goaltenders. And apparently, if it got to a situation where he was needed, Artem Anisimov, a forward, would have stepped in as the E-Bug for the Ottawa Senators. I have not seen any photos of him in goalie gear, but apparently he was suited up and he was ready to go. At least DJ Smith, their head coach, said that he was. So my tire pump for this week, men who are ready to step into the line of fire as goaltenders, whether they have played the position or not. So Artem Anisimov and Fred Brathwaite, they get my tire pumps for this week.
I can't believe we missed out on an Artie party in the Ottawa Senators crease.
That's good.
I'm going to give a preemptive tire pump, or a tire pump that I believe will be there in the future, which is to give the tire pump to whichever community, whichever official, whichever group ensures that the women have a world championship later on this summer. Obviously, it was a tough week for the women's game. It's been a tough year for the women's game. It's been longer than a year, but it's been pretty rough what's happened to sports that are considered, I'm not going to say lesser, but behind the men's game in a lot of things. Like, junior hockey's had it rough, women's hockey's had it rough, everything but the NHL basically has had to suffer from what's going on right now. So the fact that the women had the rug pulled out from under them only a couple weeks before this tournament was supposed to start in Nova Scotia, because health officials in Nova Scotia decided that it wasn't, you know, safe enough to have this tournament, is just another example of all how far the world seems to cater to the men's game and just neglect the women's game. And it's pretty fitting that you're wearing the sweatshirt that you're wearing today, the PWHPA sweater. And we didn't plan that, so that's great. But I believe, with all the support that we saw on Twitter, with all the discussion over how this is a travesty, that they're going to get it right eventually. So to Ottawa Tourism, that seems to have stepped up and had interest, BC, other areas that have stepped up and say, how can we get this done? I'm going to give the tire pump to the groups that are trying to get this sorted out, and a major tire pump to whoever ultimately lands this tournament and stages the women's game before Beijing. It's important every year. It's very important this year. We need to see the women at the highest level compete, because it's been, frankly, too long since we have. So it's I'm trying to spin this forward in a positive way, because it was not a good week. But I believe it'll get done, and it has a lot to do with the people that have stepped up and voiced their opinion, and of course, whoever is going to take on this this event and stage it later this summer. So a tire pump to the women's game, and who's ultimately going to put on the 2021 World Championship.
Wow, that was very well said. And you're right, it's been a pretty tough week on so many fronts with regards to sports and even beyond that. And just to get to this point now where we get to a new week, hopefully things will be better on certain fronts and different fronts as well. But especially for the women's game, just a travesty to see that the tournament was shut down as it was. And hopefully someone steps up and gets it, because there are a lot of talented players across this country and the States as well. And the game is at a point where it's getting better and better, and there are more talented players, and they deserve to have the opportunity to play games and go through a tournament, just like the men are getting those opportunities right now, especially with the similar, like the younger boys tournament in Frisco, Texas. I don't know the age group, but still, if those things are happening for some of those men's tournaments or those boys tournaments, there's no reason why we can't have it for the women as well.
Figure it out. I'm sure they will figure it out, but they have to, because you got to do what's right for sport and doing right by the athletes as well. All right, we'll leave it at that. Julian, that was another Sunday edition of the Yahoo Sports Podcast. Always a lot of fun, and we're down to the stretch drive here. Only have a few more weeks before we're talking about playoff hockey, and maybe fans will be in the seats for playoff hockey, but either way, I can't wait, and I'm looking forward to more hockey talk.
As am I. Mr. Justin Cuthbert, always a pleasure to be on this show with you.
Thanks, buddy.
Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.